from the capital city of Charleston, West Virginia, this is Inside West Virginia Politics with Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
Well, happy weekend, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Inside West Virginia Politics. I'm your host, Mark Curtis. We're going to have a fun show today. We've got a lot of different things to talk about, but right now I want to introduce one of our youngest lawmakers here in the state of West Virginia. He is Republican Delegate Trent Barnhart of Pleasants County. Great to have you on the program. District 9, correct?
Yes, thank you for having me, Mark.
Well, this is exciting because this is your second term. You're a mere 26 years old, which is great. It's great. We have a mixture of young and old people, older people like me in the legislature, and I think it's a good thing because it brings fresh ideas. Let's talk first about the governor's tax cut proposal to roll back the income tax 50% over the next 3 years. It has passed the House. We're awaiting action by the Senate. The governor wants it. Where do you stand and why?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here this morning. It's an ambitious plan. I'm excited about the plan. You know, we've got record surpluses here in West Virginia as a result of 4 years of a flatline budget, you know, the severance taxes being up, all the things that are going in the right direction, fiscal responsibility here in West Virginia. And right now, this is a great opportunity to get back to our taxpayers. You know, we've given back, we've reinvested in our roads over the years, we've reinvested in our state workers, in our services, and our tourism. Now it's time to reinvest in the rank and file taxpayers of West Virginia.
And part of this is part of the bigger economic development initiative in the state. We've had about a dozen major companies announced in the last year that they're coming here. And it is the governor's eventual goal, probably won't happen till after he's out of office, is to eliminate the personal income tax period in the state, like Florida, Texas, Tennessee, New Hampshire, several other states have no personal income tax at the state level. Do you think that will help attract people here?
Absolutely. You know, I've always told folks, first of all, in the House of Delegates, we've taken an approach that we want to eliminate and reduce the tax burden on people of the state as much as we possibly can. But when you look at the data and you look at states like Tennessee, Florida, and Texas, there's no comparison. I mean, if it's a data-driven approach, the income tax drives population growth. That's what we need in the state of West Virginia.
But you mentioned the severance tax, and I do have to play devil's advocate here because we have a boom and bust cycle in the state. It goes up and up. I've been here 8 years. When I got here, we had 2 years back-to-back $500 million deficits. Now we're looking at a $2 billion surplus. So it's up and down. It's a roller coaster ride, maybe not the rocket ship ride the governor talks about. So how do we address the boom times versus the bust times? I mean, there's got to be a balance in there. People are worried that we're going to give all this money away and then, you know, stuff's going to hit the fan.
Absolutely. Well, one thing that we built into the bill, so as the governor's plan stands right now, you know, it's the 30% up front, 10% in the two following years for a 50% reduction. We also built in a tax reduction reserve fund of $700 million. That way, if we have any concerns or anything, as the governor would say, if dupe does happen, we have something to fall back on. And honestly, you look what we did in 2022, we brought in $6 billion of new capital investment in West Virginia and business growth. If we cut taxes, we're going to be able to get it back into the economy. It's going to grow the state. And we've gotten data from the tax revenue department, and we feel confident that we're going to be in good shape with what we're putting forward.
I mentioned at the top of the segment, you're 26 years old. You're one of our youngest lawmakers. You're in your second term. Our biggest export is your generation. Young people go to college in West Virginia, or they leave West Virginia to go to college elsewhere, never come back, or they get educated here, they leave the state for jobs elsewhere. How do we fix that? How do we address your generation and even those younger than you and keep them in the state for all these jobs that are now coming here?
I'm really pleased you brought that up, Mark. You know, the number one reason I got into politics was to keep people here in this state. When I went to University of Charleston, I went to school with kids from all over the state, all over the country, and all over the world, and we'd talk about where we wanted to go. People would talk about going around the country, and I'd say, I want to stay here in West Virginia. I want to make a difference here in West Virginia. And part of how we do that, it's all about growing our base. I mean, I talked to some folks in our community and technical colleges, and they're doing all kinds of things to encourage workforce development and make sure that whenever our kids graduate, when they graduate from high school, they have an opportunity to stay in the state. They may not, but they have the opportunity to stay in West Virginia. That's my dream as a lawmaker here in West Virginia.
We're down to a minute. You're a banker by trade. You got your bachelor's and MBA in business over at the University of Charleston. How does your banking experience inform you as a lawmaker and help you deal with all the numbers that are getting thrown around down there? Because there's a lot of them.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, at the end of the day, you know, when it comes to these financial issues, and I always say that the biggest correlation between the banking industry and between the lawmaking side of it is that it's all about relationships. And of course, the financial background really helps me be equipped to serve on the finance committee and to make these decisions. And I'm just honored to be there. And it's all about relationships, and I'm pleased to serve, and I'm looking forward to a productive session this year.
All right. Well, it's great to have you on the show. You're a fascinating young man, a very intelligent, well-informed 26-year-old delegate from Pleasants County, Trent Barnhart, a Republican. Thanks for being here. We'll have you back, and good luck as you go forward in your
Thank
career.
Thank you, Mark.
Again, great to see you.
My pleasure.
More of Inside West Virginia Politics after this break. Don't go away.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And we welcome you back this weekend on Inside West Virginia Politics. Of course, the world of politics is greatly affected and shaped by the economy. We want to get a snapshot of the West Virginia economy these days. Let me introduce Professor John Deskins. He is the director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at West Virginia University. Great to have you back on the program.
Great. Great to be on here, and thanks for having me.
You have been spending some time in Charleston of late, briefing the lawmakers for the legislative session, briefing the press. Give us a snapshot. Tell us what the West Virginia economy looks like right now and which direction we're heading.
Sure. Well, the first thing is to say that we have now fully recovered from the COVID recession. As you may have heard me say before, when COVID hit in 2020, we lost 14% of all of our jobs in West Virginia. That amounted to 95,000 jobs lost in our state in the early part of 2020. But as of the end of last year, we finally recovered from that COVID recession. We're back to the same number of jobs that we had in January of 2020. So that's a good thing to have made it through that recession. That's a reason to celebrate. But there's a but. We can't really celebrate right now because we have tremendous uncertainty nationally. As everyone knows, inflation has been very high. We've seen inflation that's the highest that it's been in 40 years. And to combat that, the Federal Reserve has had to raise interest rates very, very aggressively over the past year, since March of last year. So those interest rate increases are now starting to have an effect to push down overall demand in the economy. So there's a reasonable chance that the U.S. economy may go into a recession this year. And if that happens, then that's certainly going to affect West Virginia as well. So some reason to celebrate, but a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear about the national economy, not about any West Virginia specific issue there, but about national issues that could affect all of us.
Of course, there are some things going on in the West Virginia economy that people are viewing as very positive, one of which is I believe we've had the highest record number or revenue yet from coal and natural gas severance taxes in the last year, and that's, of course, helping fuel, pardon the pun, the state's budget surplus. Where are we going with the fossil fuel industry, which historically has had a lot of ups and downs, booms or busts? Where do we stand today?
Well, that's right. The main thing there is that energy is very volatile, and it has had a kind of a perpetual boom and bust cycle over history. With regards to natural gas, though, it's actually a little bit different there. I mean, gas production wasn't affected a whole lot by COVID. We expect gas production to continue to increase at a healthy rate. Coal production, fell a lot between 2008 and 2019. COVID was hard on coal production as well, but coal production has improved noticeably since the end of COVID, although we're still not back to where we were in 2019. We expect gas to continue to increase at a healthy rate, but we're not for sure about coal. A lot of the increase in coal that we've seen over the last couple of years has been driven by exports. The world market has demanded more coal. That's been a good thing for West Virginia in a lot of ways. But it's hard to predict the global marketplace because so many factors are at play. So we're not for sure. We're not for sure how long this increase in coal production will be with us.
We are going to have a $2.2 billion projected budget surplus in the state by the end of this fiscal year. Do you have any suggestions on what to do with that money, or do you have cautionary notes about, put the brakes on here and just don't give away the store all at once?
Yeah, I don't have specific recommendations, but I would be cautious. Natural gas prices have surged, and national sources like the Energy Information Administration from the federal government expect those prices to fall at least somewhat over the next year. So that in and of itself will reduce the surplus. Other parts of the surplus are inflation driven, undoubtedly. And there are some other good things that are driving the surplus in a more substantive way. But I would just be cautious about how much of this surplus is going to be sustainable over the next couple of years versus how much of it's going to disappear as gas prices kind of return to normal and probably coal prices as well. So caution is what I would urge going forward, because we don't want to make big cuts to tax revenue and find that we're in a deficit a couple years down the road and have to raise taxes back again. That's not what I would want to see.
All right. Well, there's lots going on with the West Virginia economy, including all of these big companies announcing that they're moving some operations here. Let's talk about that when we come back on Inside West Virginia Politics with John Deskins.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And welcome back to Inside West Virginia Politics, where our guest for the last two segments has been John Deskins, Professor John Deskins, Director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at WVU. We're talking about the West Virginia economy. John, we've had all of these major companies, Nucor Steel, Form Energy, Berkshire Hathaway, the list goes on, Pure Watercraft, Green Power Buses announced they're coming here. Some are already here now. Why do you think this is happening, and what does this bode for the West Virginia economy?
Well, I mean, it's great news for the West Virginia economy. I mean, I don't know all the reasons why it's happening, but I think a lot of our economic development leaders in Charleston and the Departments of Commerce and the Department of Economic Development, I think they're doing a good job of marketing West Virginia and showcasing the strengths that we have and the ways in which these businesses can fit into our economy and finding sites. This is great momentum. And, you know, I hope we can carry it forward. I mean, I don't have too much to say about it other than it's great news. And in some of our counties, some of these new developments will be game changers, especially the Nucor Steel, for example. That will be a game changer in that county, given the number of jobs and the level of pay for those jobs.
Yeah, that's the Mason County, in Jackson County areas. A lot going on. I want to talk about, and I asked this of the governor and the economic development staff, and sometimes I don't get maybe the most welcome to answer because they're concerned about it too. The question is, where are we going to get all these workers? By my estimation, from all of these announcements and the projected employment they're supposed to generate, we are probably at the least looking for 10 to 12,000 new workers, and we don't have them in the state. Does there have to be a national campaign for recruitment to get people to move here?
Well, think about West Virginia over the last 50 years. We've lost population. We've lost our workforce because in many of those years, economic opportunities outside of the state were better than they were in the state. So we saw an out-migration of workers for better economic opportunities. The good news is that works in reverse as well. When we have good job opportunities like these Nucor Steel jobs, for example, that are paying well above the average wage in the state or in the nation, then we'll see people migrate back in. I mean, the economic data over time are very clear that migration is pretty responsive to good job opportunities. So I don't doubt that some of these jobs will go to kind of native or current West Virginians. But we do have workforce shortages, but I look for in-migration to fill the gap there. And that's a good thing. I mean, out-migration has been one of the factors that has hurt West Virginia over time. So in-migration for these jobs can help create momentum, get things moving in the right direction, and help solve their problems.
I don't want to draw you into the political fire, but obviously there's a big debate going on between the governor, the House, and the Senate about reducing income taxes in West Virginia with the goal of eventually getting rid of the state's personal income tax. And one of the reasons why they say they want this to happen is it would make us like Florida, Tennessee, Texas, other states that have no personal income tax, which have attracted a lot of new people. Do you think that could work for West Virginia?
It's hard to say. The economics research has looked at this question a lot. And it is true that some states like Texas, Tennessee, Florida don't have a personal income tax and have also experienced a lot of positive momentum over the last, 40, 50 years. But it's not clear that the lack of an income tax is the reason why states like Florida and Texas are doing so well. There may be many other factors that are driving that good news in Florida. Lower taxes can definitely help. There's reason to believe, there's evidence to say that lower taxes can help, but it's not necessarily just simply cuts in the personal income tax. I mean, you need to analyze the tax system holistically. You have to think about sales taxes. You have to think about property taxes, other taxes that also come into the mix to find the right balance. And you also have to balance that with spending. I mean, if we reduce spending as a result of these tax cuts over the long term, then that can affect our infrastructure, our roads and our bridges, and that can affect our public school funding, for example. And those things can also affect economic development. If you have underfunded and poorly performing schools, that can also be a factor that fits into the economic development picture. So I'm sorry that I don't have a clear answer in terms of, hey, this is the silver bullet, but it's complicated, and this picture needs to be analyzed holistically.
Yeah, well, we'll talk more about it as we go ahead with the legislative session and see how the economy goes in this state. Look, I appreciate your insight. You're a great guest, as always, and very informative, lots of information. We want to thank Professor John Deskins, the director of the Bureau of Business and Economic Research at WVU, joining us today from Morgantown. We'll have you back real soon, Professor. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
And we'll have more Inside West Virginia Politics after this break.
Inside West Virginia Politics is brought to you by AARP West Virginia, your ally for real possibilities in the Mountain State.
And welcome back to our final segment this week on Inside West Virginia Politics. We're going to talk tourism for our final segment. Joining me is Tim Brady. He's the president and chief executive officer of the Charleston Visitor and Convention Bureau. Good to have you on the program.
Good to see you, Mark.
You're here because this past week at the Capitol, Tourism Day.
Correct.
The place was packed.
Mm-hmm.
Every organization, every entity in the state, hospitality industry, restaurants, you name it, mm-hmm. everybody was there. How is tourism doing, not just in Charleston here, but statewide?
Tourism is booming in West Virginia, and that's due in large part to the leadership of Secretary Chelsea Ruby, but also the hard work of organizations like mine, the Charleston CVB and CVBs across the state. It's estimated that last year we contributed $4.7 billion to the state's economy through our tourism marketing efforts, bringing people into the state of West Virginia to experience all of the things that are unique to our state.
I want to show something here. This is a great new publication. It's the West Virginia Vacation Guide. This was offered by the Tourism Office. You mentioned Chelsea Ruby, she and her staff. This is absolutely gorgeous. We've had some national publicity of late. I forget the organization, just ranking West Virginia as the New River Gorge National Park as the eighth best national park in America.
You know, one of the things that I think Secretary Ruby and her office has done a magnificent job over the last couple of years is getting that kind of attention, those kind of eyeballs on the state of West Virginia through reputable national publications. Publications like Condé Nast and USA Today and large recognized national and international media organizations, Lonely Planet, consistently ranking West Virginia as one of the top places, not only in the country, but in the world to visit. And that's, again, that's a credit to the West Virginia Division of Tourism and the work that they're doing to, we can pay for marketing, but that's the best kind of marketing because it's someone with authority saying you have to visit this place. And you mentioned the New River National Park. That's been a boon to the whole state of West Virginia, and specifically here in Charleston. We're seeing Charleston as the gateway to the New River Gorge National Park. Anytime a new national park opens, it drives tourism because there is a whole industry of people and a whole sort of cohort of people out there who make it their life's mission to visit all of the national parks. And we're seeing that traffic come through Charleston as they head down to the gorge.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because tourism is not usually not just a one destination thing. I mean, you book a lot of conventions, conferences, sporting events, and other things that bring people to the Coliseum and Convention Center. But I realize tourism is kind of a cross-pollination. People come here maybe for a convention and they say, you know, while we're here, we want to see that new national park or we want to go whitewater rafting. It's not just a one-stop deal when people come from other states.
In the industry, we call that hub and spoke. You hub in Charleston and you spoke out. You go down to Hatfield McCoy to check out the ATV trails, or you go down to the New River Gorge to see the national park, or you find another destination that's within a short drive and you sort of make Charleston your base camp and you explore these other parts of the state.
Well, we want people to do that. Now, realize this television show airs in Washington, D.C., all of our 55 counties and all the border encounters of our five surrounding states. So if you're close by, come visit us here in West Virginia.
Absolutely.
I mean, a lot of great things going on. Anything big coming in 2023 that we can talk about?
Sure. Everybody's excited about the return of Regatta, Regatta 2023 over 4th of July weekend. That's certainly going to be, I think, for years to come, the sort of benchmark summer event for the city of Charleston. One of the things that we're excited about in the city at the Coliseum and Convention Center and within my organization, in July we'll be hosting the USA Table Tennis Junior Pan American Games. It'll be table tennis players who are competing at an Olympic level from North and South America descending on Charleston for 6 days to compete and to experience all that our city has to offer. And we continue to grow a strong relationship with USA Sports in general. So bringing their Junior Pan American Table Tennis Games to Charleston is going to be a lot of fun.
And table tennis is fun to watch, so it'll bring spectators out. Real quick, give your website where people can find more information about the convention and
it's
visitors.
CharlestonWV.com. You can find a calendar of events. You can find all kinds of tools to plan your trip to Charleston. We also have a mobile app that you can download from the website. So once you're here, you can navigate around town, find things to do, places to eat, places to shop, experiences that you'll only find in Charleston, West Virginia, and it can all be found at charlestonwv.com.
Very well said. As I always tell people, I moved here 8 years ago and absolutely fell in love with West Virginia. I'm not going anywhere. We want to thank Tim Brady from the Charleston Convention and Visitors
My
Bureau,
pleasure,
President
Mark.
CEO. Good to have you. We'll have you back sometime later in the year and talk more.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for Inside West Virginia Politics. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, we're our podcast. Download us from your favorite podcast vendor. We'll see you back here next week. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Inside West Virginia Politics. You can hear more from state, local, and federal lawmakers each and every Sunday morning on WOWK-TV in Charleston, WBOY-TV in Clarksburg, WDVM in the Eastern Panhandle, WTRF in Wheeling, and WVNS in Beckley. You can also find a new episode of the Inside West Virginia Politics podcast right here on this feed every Monday morning. If you like the show, make sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts.
Inside West Virginia Politics is a Nexstar Media Group production, hosted and managed by Mark Curtis. Inside West Virginia Politics is recorded and edited inside the studios of WOWK-TV in Charleston, West Virginia. All rights reserved.